Every month we look skyward with Dr. Buddy Stark, director of the University of Michigan Planetarium. He's live in the studio today here on 1290 WLBY. All right, Dr. Stark, there were numerous reports last week of a fireball in the sky over Michigan.
Yeah. Well, Massachusetts.
No, it was
seen around here.
It was seen here too. Yeah. And this past weekend, a loud boom was heard in Massachusetts with further fireball sightings.
Yep.
What's going on? We talked last week about this meteor that they had been tracking.
The asteroid, the Apophis asteroid.
Oh, is that different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. So they tend to be larger.
All of this is just coming too close for me. All right, so what's going on here?
Yeah, so this is very typical. Every time this sort of hits the news, we sort of get in a little bit of a panic about it, right? Because it is a big explosion that happened. But for our planet and for space, this is just sort of run of the mill. I know it feels scary, but there is the Earth hits dozens of these things every day.
Wait. The Earth hits them. They're not hitting us.
Oh, yeah. Very good. So it feels like they're hitting us, right? And that's because it's easy to forget that we're moving, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So we all exist on this huge ball that is hurtling through space. And as it goes around the sun, it runs into other things.
That's scary enough right there.
But from our perspective, it feels like they're coming at us, but mostly it's us hitting them.
Okay, but I don't remember loud booms before. I know we see things, we see the tails, and then explosions like this in the sky. I get that.
Right.
But loud booms?
Yes. So most of them are small enough that we call them shooting stars, right? These are the meteors that we see across our sky. It's very nice. But if they are big enough, what happens is that, so they are coming at us, or we are coming at them, or a combination of the two, mm-hmm. anywhere from 25,000 to 150,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
Right. So fast, way faster than we are used to experiencing. And when a rock hits air, even just air at those speeds, it's like hitting a brick wall, right? So if you have a large enough rock, and this one was about 3 feet in diameter, it explodes because it's smashing into something at thousands and thousands of miles an hour. And so if you have it large enough like this one was, it can't just, small ones just, we say that they ablate. They just sort of, they get hot enough that they dissipate, and that's what creates that streak of light.
Oh.
But if they're too big, they try to do that too quickly, and the inside just sort of ruptures. Right?
So did this actually hit Earth? I mean, did it actually hit the ground?
Yeah. So that's the end. Most of these things never actually make what we would consider contact with the Earth, the thing that we're walking on.
And that's why we don't hear the boom all the time. Do you only get, right?
Well, so this boom actually, even that didn't hit the ground. It boomed in the air.
Oh.
Right. So it's when it hits the atmosphere of the Earth, the air that we're breathing right now. Now we're moving slow. When we walk through the air, we're moving at 3 miles an hour, 4 miles an hour, right? When we pace and walk or jog or something,
right,
or even cars. And so if you're on a car going 60 miles an hour, you can start to feel the wind. If you have your head out the window or something, right? And so you start to notice that you are moving through air. If you do that fast enough, hitting the air itself is a problem. So these things never actually make contact with it's very, very rare they make contact with the surface. They usually, in this one, exploded in the air itself.
Well, if that's true, why do airplanes not make booms when they're flying through the sky?
Right. So a couple of that's a good point. So there's sort of two things going on there. One is that even airplanes, most of them, compared to these, they're not moving very fast. Airplanes move at 600 miles an hour, 700 miles an hour. Remember, we're talking 25 to 150,000 miles an hour.
Big
these
difference
things are there. So much faster. Yeah. And some planes, if they're moving fast enough, they do make a sonic boom, right? Like jets, if they start moving faster than the speed of sound, and there's all kinds of recordings and stuff online of these things, if they rush by you at those speeds, you do hear a very loud boom.
So are you surprised that this doesn't happen more often then? At least I don't hear about this that often.
Yeah, there's two things going on there. Again, one of them is most of them is small enough that they don't cause that. These bolides is another term for these fireballs. They don't have that
bolides.
Sort of, yeah, bolides. They don't have that explosion. So this is a little bit more rare. But the other thing that's going on is we live on a planet that is mostly covered in water. So this happened about 40 miles off the coast of Massachusetts.
Oh.
And that's close enough that we still heard it. If it happened in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which can happen sometimes, we don't notice it, right? I mean, the weather radar still picks it up. But,
oh, how interesting.
But you don't hear it on the news.
So this was the same one, the Massachusetts one, and the one we saw in Michigan?
I'm not sure. So this one
I thought
was
they were
seen
days
in states.
Apart,
yeah, if there was two different days, then this would have been different. Yeah. You might be talking about one that I'm not aware of.
Okay. But there was no boom here, though, that I'm aware of.
Gotcha.
I think it was just everyone
a
reporting
smaller bowline.
Fireball in the sky.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that one. I do know the one from Massachusetts was seen from several. We're saying Massachusetts, but it was seen across several states.
Okay.
Because it was just sort of closest to Massachusetts, but it was visible elsewhere.
Are we I mean, I know we talked about this before, and you don't think. But
right, like, are we in danger?
Yeah.
That's the other thing that comes up, right? And another thing that often people will ask, like, how did we not know about this beforehand, right? I mean, this thing has enough energy that it caused this big explosion.
Right.
How are we living at a time where we don't know that that's going on? Remember, this was 3 feet in diameter, right? About 3 feet across. So I am, like, 6 feet. Roughly mm-hmm. in diameter, right? So imagine if I was out in space, just me, but just a regular old human, out in space, and you were trying to find me with telescopes. I mean, that's a pretty tall order if you don't know where I am, right? These things are small enough that they're very, very hard to see, but big enough that they're going to cause a little bit of problem. We do think, so you have to be a certain size, about 6 miles in diameter or so, for it to be like dinosaur kind of you know, world-ending stuff. And we do believe we're at a time, as of about 20 years ago, where our best telescopes have found virtually all of those that are close enough that they might be, you know, potentially hitting us.
Yeah, that's what you told us before.
Right, so we're fairly sure that that is not happening.
Okay.
But these small things that might, you know, destroy a city or something if we got very unlucky, those are possibly still out there.
Wow, wild. We're talking with Dr. Buddy Stark out of the University of Michigan Planetarium, where he is the director. Fireballs in the sky. Now you know exactly what went on. What else is happening in the month of June?
Yeah, so June we've got, so the one thing that always happens in June is we have the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. You might have noticed that if you go outside at 9:30 tonight, you still can't really see stars. Like, it's dark-ish, right? But
right.
It's the sun has just set like 45 minutes ago. So our days are getting very long as we get towards June 21st. So that's a fun sort of natural holiday to sort of celebrate, right? The longest day of the year. People have done that for thousands of years. If you are...
When is it actually the 20...
June 21st. 21st, is
okay.
The solstice.
All right. Uh-huh.
Excuse me, this year.
Okay. So that's interesting in and of itself.
Right. It's just sort of an intellectual thing, right?
Like,
You can't go outside and see the solstice. So let's talk about some things you can actually go outside
okay.
and see. We have a conjunction between Venus and Jupiter on June 9th.
What is a conjunction?
Very good. So a conjunction is when two things in our sky, from our point of view here on the Earth, get very, very close together to the point that they almost look like one thing.
Mm.
So Venus and Jupiter have been visible just after sunset for the last month or 2 months or so, something like that. And they will also be for the next month. So if you want to see some planets, but you don't want to stay up until 10:30, which is like past my bedtime most nights, which is what you need for stars right now, then go outside, watch the sunset, and you will see Venus and Jupiter, two very bright things right nearby. And on June 9th, they're going to be sort of right next to each other, almost looking like one thing.
Oh, cool. Also, Mercury is in the news.
Yeah, so Mercury is a planet that is often very difficult to find, to actually see in the sky, because it's the closest planet to the sun. And if you think about what that means, it means that it's always pretty close to the sun in the sky. And the problem with the sun is it's a very, very bright thing. And so it's hard to see things that are near the sun.
Mm.
So on June 15th this month, and you can already just barely make it out, but on June 15th this month, Mercury is at what we call greatest elongation, which is a fancy term for it's the furthest it's going to get from the sun from our point of view.
It's not really longer. It looks like it, or
yeah, it looks it's like the separation between Mercury and the sun is the most it's ever going to be in our sky, right? So that's greatest elongation, and so that's the 15th. So if you go out and watch the sunset on the 15th, if the weather is good, and you have to have a clear view of the west, right? If your neighbor's house is there or trees or anything like that, that's game over. But if you watch the sunset on June 15th, just after sunset nearby, you'll see a little point of light, and that will be Mercury. Usually very hard to find that planet.
And we normally don't get to see that.
Yeah, most of the time. It's just too close to the sun.
Wow, that's cool. June 15th. Anything else for this month?
Well, I do have some things about Regulus. We might hold off on Regulus. So there's a very cool thing. So Leo the lion is in the sky this month. And for the last couple of months, as we head towards the summer, it's going to get lower and lower. There's a very bright star in Leo that has some really interesting history. If we have the time to go into it, then that's great. But if not, I understand. With South African tribes, they talk about.
Oh, tell us about this.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So I really like the fact that humans around the world for thousands of years have looked at the sky. We tell these stories, right? And the fact that people have made up different stories is very interesting to me. So Regulus for us is a springtime star. It shows up very early spring and it kind of disappears late summer. But if you're south of the equator, the opposite is true, right? It shows up sort of early fall and it shows up right towards the end of winter. So in South Africa, Regulus, which is the brightest star in Leo, to us we call it Regulus, was known as the fire finisher, which is just, to me, is a great name for a star. And the reason they called it that was because that was about the time of year when Regulus was finally setting in the sky. That was about the time of year that you were running out of firewood because it had been cold for so long.
Oh.
And so, you know, you were sort of getting desperate. It was still pretty cold and you were just about out of wood. And so when Regulus was setting, it was the time that your fires were sort of running out and you were hoping it was going to start getting warmer again.
Wow.
So that's in our sky tonight.
That's so cool.
Southwest tonight is Regulus. Yeah.
But again, that's because their season's different than ours.
Right. So if you're around here, then June is summertime and July is summertime. But if you are south of the equator, then June and July is wintertime.
I told you before, I can never make out these pictures in the sky.
Oh, sure.
I don't know how you people see them.
Yeah.
Why is that? What's wrong with me?
Well, I mean, the one trick is that the people like me who do this for a living, you find the easy stuff and you sort of teach yourself how to use the easy stuff, like the Big Dipper, to find the hard stuff. So Leo is underneath of the Big Dipper.
Oh, okay.
So if you find the Big Dipper, you look under the pot, that'll be the right area to try and find Leo.
All right, very cool. You know, those of you who are intrigued by Dr. Buddy Stark, as we are here on 1290 WLBY, you can become even more educated by going to the University of Michigan Planetarium, which has so many ways for you to enjoy our sky. Tell everyone about this.
Yeah, so the museum, as of June 1st, is open 7 days a week. We have our summer schedule starting. The planetarium starts its summer schedule in July. So June is still sort of Friday, Saturday, Sunday for our public shows. But starting in July, we go Tuesday through Sunday with public planetarium shows. We've got shows about dinosaurs, and we've also got shows about the night sky where you can learn a lot more about what we're talking about.
Family-friendly shows.
Of course.
That's a great way for you to stay cool this summer, too.
Absolutely, yeah. We do keep it nice and air-conditioned.
Yeah, and great seating, too.
Oh, yes, very comfortable.
Yeah. All right, check it out on the campus of the University of Michigan, the University of Michigan Planetarium. If you Google UM Planetarium, it'll come up, all the details, and you can explore and plan your trip before you go. Our thanks to Dr. Buddy Stark on the air each month. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
Very interesting. I'm not so worried about those fireballs in the sky
anymore.
Yeah. Till it lands in my backyard.
Right.
Dr. Buddy Stark, director of the U of M Planetarium, on the Lucy Ann Lantz Show, Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.